This podcast is intended for mature audiences.
It also contains two British people talking about sex.
That was not a cold open.
I know, that's what I'm saying. We need a cold open. That's the cold open.
What? No, that can't be the cold open.
That's the cold open. Hello!
Hello!
And welcome to Teabags and Joysticks, the kinky video game podcast. Don't look at me like that. I saw you looking at me to go, is he going to forget or not?
Yeah, because you made a massive pause. Yeah.
Shh, that will come out in the edit. And Happy New Year.
Happy everybody. New Year indeed, yes.
It's 2024.
Yes, somehow.
Somehow. How has it got to 2024? How have we got to, like, how have we been doing this that long for one, but how has it got to 2024?
Oh, I don't know. Like, somehow it's been another year.
Well, welcome to your British existential crisis.
Oh, God. Don't need another one of those.
Oh, God, it's the time of year for them, don't you worry. But yes, it's a new year, it's a new start, and how are you, Chris? Any resolutions?
No, I don't do New Year resolutions.
How about New Year tea, then?
New Year tea. I will drink a lot of tea. I always do, anyway. That's, yeah. I don't have a particularly New Year tea to speak
Fair
of.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Well, I figured sort of New Year and, you know, in the spirit of Auld Lang Syne, old acquaintances and all that, we really need to catch up with where things are in pop culture because we've been avoiding talking about a lot of things.
Yeah.
Because of the writer's strike and the actor's strike and various other industry chicanery that we're not going to get into.
Yeah,
it seems to have quietened down.
Yeah, I mean, we have avoided talking about them for good reasons, in our opinions. But yeah, let's do talk about it now, I think.
Indeed, let's pick it back up. Let's do a little bit of a deep dive.
So we're on New Year's, like I joked about New Year, new tea, that sort of thing. Do you have any tea on your shoulders?
Okay, so it's not so much tea. I do have the whole sort of New Year, new projects.
Yeah.
So I have actually, like, kicked off a new little... I guess you'd call it an arts project type thing. So the very brief rundown of this is that for the last 3 years or so, I have been paying attention as I've been going around collecting different messages and things that people have left on the street, like whether it's graffiti, whether it's sort of the way that people have modified signage, whether it's the way that people have sort of done like little stickers and things. And it's just like the whole idea of the little project is like picking up these messages that people just make on spur of moments and don't really think that much about. But they stop and they make you think.
Okay.
And so, like, I've just, like, titled the little project, For Whom It May Concern. And it's over on Instagram. For Whom dot It May Concern is the handle if you want to go and check it out. I'm putting up, like, one a week for the next year. And, yeah, it's just a little bit of a daft fun thing I've been kind of collecting for the last couple of years.
Okay, that's cool. Yeah, because I have seen you taking pictures when we were going out together and that kind of thing. And yeah, I knew of this project and it would be nice to see it actually you know, coming together.
It's ended up with me in some really strange situations where I'm taking photos of seemingly nothing to passers-by, because I'm just pointing at random corners in little alleyways and things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a you know, silly little project. I'll stick it over on the website under the link section if anyone wants to go and have a look at it as a kind of unofficial TB&J project type thing.
Obviously, it's going to be in the, I guess, in the show description as well.
Yeah, I'll stick it in the show notes as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, like no tea as such, just, you know, I'm working on new projects, which is always a nice start to
cool
the
sweet.
Without further ado, should we get stuck into some older projects?
Yeah, there's a long way back.
Well, I was gonna say this, I was just looking at how far back this is, and I don't think we've talked properly about the MCU since maybe May.
Yeah, that's a thing. Like when we were, our episodes were a lot more frequent as well.
Last year was a bit of a weird year for us, but we're hoping to be back on top of it this year.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all the way back to May, we're going to let's kind of put some, I guess, structure to the formatting of this. We're going to start talking about MCU stuff because that's been the biggest impact of things that we've not been able to talk about.
Yes.
And then we'll pick up any other bits of media that we've wanted to talk about but we've not been able to.
Yeah, okay.
Because I know there's definitely a couple of things on my box I'd like to pick up. Let's get the MCU out of the way first because that's what I feel like we missed the most on.
Yeah, because we always talk about the MCU.
So we just done a little bit of digging in the archive.
Yeah.
The last thing I managed to find us talking about was the end of the start of Secret Invasion.
Pretty much, yeah.
Basically, they just killed Cobie Smulders.
More or less. I think it was the end of episode 2 we talked about when Nick Fury met up with his wife.
His wife that has never been met. Well, okay, no. In a single throwaway line has been mentioned in the MCU before.
Yeah. Oh, the MCU does do that. Like they just have the tiniest of hints, but yeah.
Yeah, and to be fair, that doesn't make me that mad because it's like, okay, he's the head of an international spy agency. Yes, it would make sense he's careful about his family.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, you know, we're not seeing these characters day to day to day. We're seeing
Exactly. Yeah. Especially Nick Fury when he only shows up at the most important of moments, basically.
Yeah, he only shows up if he's blowing something up or calling someone a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Yeah. Unless it's Far From Home, which doesn't count because it wasn't him.
Exactly.
Or Captain Marvel, which had a lot of Nick Fury, but it was before the wife, so, you know, because his wife is a Skrull.
Yeah, we'll get to Captain Marvel and the Marvels.
Well, yeah, Fury. Later on. Well, we're still on Secret Invasion for now.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, after that, it turned really shit.
To be fair, it didn't kick off the best.
No.
Like, I had a lot of hope for Secret Invasion. I think anyone familiar with the MCU's, sorry, with the Marvel Comics storylines had a lot of hope for Secret Invasion. It wasn't what it should have been.
Absolutely not. It really should have been, you know, an Winter Soldier-esque kind of TV series, like a lot of spies going around the places, but it was not that whatsoever.
That said, Olivia Colman.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yes.
Just because it's nice to see Olivia Colman in the MCU, and yeah, I want to see more of her. Like, I want to see, like, just how much of a bitch that character is.
Yeah.
She's the only person that Fury has, like, any sort of guard up on that, you know, he just point blank refuses. It's just like, I need to know what that history is.
Oh, well, yeah, but it's... Yeah, sure. Okay, yeah. The whole series makes no sense, though.
Oh, no, I completely agree. But I can like a particular character separate to the series.
Oh, I know, I know. I know, but you're talking about a relationship of, you know, two characters, and I can't do that just with how they have characterized it, because in the scheme of the series, the story, it made no sense for him to just for Fury to just trust someone that looks like Olivia Colman.
And then on top of that, you have the whole thing at the end, like the story's a car crash. I'm sorry, the story is a car crash.
Oh, yeah.
So many logical fucking flaws that just... I don't even want to entertain it that much. And on top of that, they were using freaking AI in the credits and everything and putting artists out of jobs. Fuck that shit. But, like...
That is a bit of a mischaracterization. They had hired artists for all of those opening credits.
My understanding is they were done by AI.
They were first drawn by artists, and then they put it through an AI.
Okay. Right. Fair enough. Still feels a little bit sketchy.
I don't feel massively mad about it, because the artist wanted to do that.
Okay, that changes things. That's the bit of context I didn't have.
Yeah.
Because I'm literally about to ask you the question, why not just ask the artist to produce what you're attempting to get to?
Because
it's the artist that's gone...
It was the artist who wanted to put it through an AI to give the quote, I think the quotes is like the eeriness that a human cannot provide.
I'll let that one go then. But I don't know, the CG in that final battle was rough.
Oh, Jesus. Lest we talk about the last episode of Better.
You see, yes and no, because it really irritates me. So, the final episode, we should have seen Birth of the Super Skrull.
Yeah.
Which we sort of did.
We sort of did.
But they fucked it up.
Uh-huh.
The whole point of the Super Skrull is it's supposed to essentially be an analogy to the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
We don't have the Fantastic Four in-universe yet.
Nope.
But I can see how you could sort of patch it around in order to end up with a power set that's very similar.
Yeah.
And then you do a bit of jiggery-pokery later down the line to explain, you know, why did she change the way her powers manifest or whatever to, you know, there's a way you do it.
Mm-hmm.
What we got instead was just unpolished, frankly, CGI that was clearly a rush job, was not given the time it needs in the oven, and just ended up with really nasty, like, Uncanny Valley type. Uncanny Valley is not the right term, but I don't know what the right term is. But, like, it just didn't translate well at all.
No. It wasn't even... I don't know. Okay. The CGI bothered me a bit, but it wasn't by far the thing that bothered me the most, because I will always say that story is more important than CGI. But yeah, the whole fight scene was just shit. They just fought the entire thing in the air. There was no choreography. Yeah. It was just shit to look at. Like, no one could understand what was happening, because there was no momentum whatsoever. They were just flying through the air.
What really pissed me off as well. So, let's be clear. I understand the excuse of couldn't involve the Avengers, etc. because you don't want them getting their powers cloned, this, that, and the other.
Oh.
I get that. Okay? I get that. By the time you got to the final episode...
Yeah.
The president has been attacked.
Yeah.
A nuclear... reactor, I think it was, is under siege by a foreign, what is essentially a foreign power.
Mm-hmm.
You have powered, known powered individuals on the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you have Fury backed into a corner.
Yeah.
Is this, or is this not, exactly to the letter, almost, with maybe just the exception of the president, but that just elevates it more,
uh-huh,
the start of Avengers 2?
Yeah, it's the point that, oh, the Avengers would have just got involved, regardless if anyone is telling them or not.
At that point...
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, Tony's dead in the MCU, but you're telling me there is nobody who has gone, the fuck's going on here, guys?
Yeah. Yeah, they would have just responded. And there is enough time in the series, have the passing of time, there is enough time, definitely, for them to get to Russia, I think it was.
Okay, so I think it was Russia. I think they deliberately danced around not being too overt with where it was.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
It's just... It really, really irritated me that they squandered it the way they did. And they squandered so much good talent in it as well.
I know, right?
Kobe Smulders, Ben Kingsley, fucking Martin Sheen. They had him in for one scene to basically just kill him off. And it's just like, no! Turn this into a proper spy thriller.
Yeah. I don't know.
You put Ben Kingsley, Martin Sheen, Kobe Smulders,
yeah,
Olivia Colman, and Nick Fury on a fucking team. Fine, kill them off partway through. But the way they did it, no, just fuck off.
Yeah, I don't know who allowed them to even do that. Like, who wrote this? Who wrote this crap?
It's fascinating to me because genuinely, I feel like if you look at... Now, part of this is because of writer's strike and everything, but if you look at MCU output and you look at the way the MCU news has come out about how they're changing plans for next phases and everything else, they realize they really dropped the ball with Secret Invasion.
Oh, yeah.
They realize just how much damage it did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It should not have come out. Full stop.
It really shouldn't.
It really shouldn't.
And they've got a lot to do to earn back that trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
With that said, somewhere I think they did earn back that trust, but my God, it was a bit of a slow burn to do so, is Loki Season 2.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, let's be clear for a moment. When I say it was a slow burn to do so... That's not necessarily a criticism of the series, because it needed to be. I think Loki was actually paced pretty much where it needs to be.
Yeah. There was that episode when they were chasing Brad on the alternative timeline, and I was like, why are we doing this? Why? I'm not sure we needed that.
No, you see, I think we did. I think we did. And so I know why you say it. I understand what the point you're making, but I think that episode did a lot to caricaturize how the TVA people, the people of the TVA, were taking to the news and what it actually ended up doing. And it humanized that organization and the people within it and working out what they do next.
Well, I didn't hate that episode or anything. I just thought, it was a weird throwaway episode.
So I don't feel like it was a throwaway, because I think that episode is also what ended up setting up Mobius's ending.
Sure, yeah, okay.
Because that episode established that Mobius did not want to look in case it was something good. That's where we found that with Mobius. That's where that character development happened. And I think if you hadn't had that episode and that humanizing of the agents... I don't think you would have got that last piece as well.
Maybe. Saying that, I wouldn't have minded if Mobius had a different ending, but I think he had a pretty good ending where he ended up on the timeline.
Yeah, I think Mobius ended up where I expected him to end up, and I don't think it's the last we'll see of him.
Oh, no.
I don't think that's the last we're seeing of that version of Loki either.
Sure.
Despite the ending, I don't think that's the end of that Loki.
No. Yeah, I think he's got some meet up with Thor to do. And yeah, for sure, like whoever the big bad is now, we're going to talk that in a bit, but yes. they are going to come for Loki for sure.
I'm not sure they can.
Mm.
I have theories about the next big bad. We'll get to that in a moment. I think we saw some interesting seeds set up there that now won't pay off, though. Or at least, okay, let me rephrase that. I think we saw some interesting seeds set up there that won't pay off in the way they originally would have.
Yeah, yeah. I think there is still a place for someone who plays Kang.
I think Kang, here's the thing. I think, let's address the elephant in the room. Because I think in order to continue talking about Loki, we're going to have to.
Yeah.
Jonathan Majors has been dropped from the MCU.
Obviously, yeah. In case you have been living under a rock.
Yeah. And part of me wants to say unceremoniously, because my God, Disney wasted no time in that press release. But at the same time,
it had been brewing for months, and they knew, you know, if that was the result of a trial, that is what they were going to have to do.
Yeah. And I feel like everybody knew that was the case.
Yeah.
Because they'd also delayed some projects pending that trial as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it's interesting. I haven't actually kept up with the news on this, so let's be very clear. What I'm about to say is entirely speculation. And I'm going to be very careful what I say, just in case. If Majors appeals, he may already be, I don't know. If Majors appeals and is found not guilty, that's a very interesting question for where does that leave Disney?
True.
And I think there's a lot of interesting contract shenanigans that's going to be already happening behind the scenes there.
Yeah.
I don't doubt there was some sort of, I guess, break clause.
Yeah,
inside definitely. Of that contract, because it's not the first time that Disney's been bit on the arse by negative press surrounding one of its actors, directors, or otherwise involved.
Exactly.
It'll be interesting. Mm-hmm. I think recasting Kang is very easy to do.
Yeah.
I think the order that you do that in, though, is the question.
I don't think... Okay, especially after what happened with T'Challa and Black Panther. Like, that was a completely different situation, but obviously they have just lost an actor as well.
Mm-hmm.
After how everyone said, basically... A lot of people have said T'Challa should have just been recasted after seeing Wakanda Forever. Not saying they should or should not have, but a lot of people are saying that.
Mm-hmm.
I think they should just replace the actor and pretend nothing has happened. Everyone knows the news.
So basically Don Cheadle this shit.
Yeah, yeah. Everyone knows the news. Everyone knows exactly why they have done it. They're not going to care.
The thing is, of all the actors, he's the easiest one they'll have ever had to be able to do a recast and think nothing of it.
Oh, of all the characters.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But my thing is this. I don't think they have time now, based on the published timeline they've got out,
mm-hmm.
to redo that quick. Because they need to start looking for the Kang, etc. actor... and someone that will carry it off in the way that needs to be carried off.
I think they already had someone in mind.
Oh, okay.
I don't know who, but come on, the news...
To be fair,
they have been thinking about it for absolutely months, and they haven't casting that tried and cast that character for years.
This is true. This is very true. I don't know. I think it's going to be interesting when we get to D23 this year.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think they're going to have to acknowledge what's going on with the MCU timeline, like, plan.
Yeah.
Because that much has moved because of the actor's strike. That much has moved because of the writer's strike. That much has moved because of global situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. So, I'm going to address this very quickly now and then move back to Loki. I would not be surprised at all to see if they accelerated their plans to introduce someone like Doctor Doom.
No, that wouldn't
put Doctor Doom up front and center while they sort out the back end of what's going on with Kang. Because I also don't think they've been handling Kang very well, for what it's worth.
Well, they... I don't know, because... Yeah, they've been setting up Kang for quite a long time, and if they just introduce Doctor Doom, I'm like, don't you need time to introduce that as well?
So, yes and no, because I'd feel like Kang to your average consumer, i.e. not us, because we're steeped with what's in the comics, etc. I think Kang to your average consumer doesn't come across as a massive threat right now. And that's no slight to how majors have played him.
No.
I think it's just the way they've introduced that character is almost too hands-on. The reason Thanos work is he'd been that looming shadow in the background for so long, and you only ever saw like a few seconds. And it was enough to give you an idea what that character is.
I mean, to be fair, like the ending of Quantumania didn't help.
No. As much as I loved seeing the Council of Kangs.
The way that Kang the Conqueror had been defeated in Quantumania did the character no favour whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Much as I love seeing the Council of Kangs, I absolutely agree.
They need to somehow make him out to be a big threat, and they haven't quite succeeded in doing that because, well, I don't know, they wanted to keep the popular characters around, the popular heroes around for some reason.
Ironically, I think they actually made the most impact with him being a big threat on the end of Loki 2, season 2.
Mm-hmm.
Like, rolling us back to Loki. I think genuinely, end of Loki season 2, where it's revealed that He Who Remains had actually planned even all of that lot out that far.
Yeah.
That made you sit back and go, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Okay. We thought we knew what this guy had done.
Yeah. And then,
that's the first time Kang felt properly menacing.
Is it the first time?
On the scale of Thanos.
Okay.
He's felt menacing. No, okay. He's felt like a bad guy. It's the first time I've looked at him and gone, okay, yeah, this could actually be an Avengers-level threat.
I mean, Avengers have come together for less.
So I mentioned there were tidbits I thought they'd set up. Shall I cover a couple of what I think they are?
Yeah, quickly. Yeah.
I think we've seen the birth of Iron Lad.
I don't know. I don't know if they're going to do him at all.
I don't know if they can do him at all now, but I think we've seen the birth of him. If they do.
I'm not convinced, but yeah.
Because I think the easiest way you do the birth of Iron Lad is you make it one of the variants that got spaghettified. And have it that they slipped into one of the time streams in the Weave.
Well, yeah, but do they even need to do that? It's already established that the TVA are looking for like variants of Kang or He Who Remains, which there are plenty of anyway.
I mean, yes. But the whole thing with I'm going to keep calling him Iron Lad. I wanted to say Kid Kang, but the whole thing with Iron Lad is that he didn't show as a variant of Kang. Because he altered himself in his direction that much. That version of Victor Timely had an idea what Kang became. Maybe he hadn't seen it all, but had an idea of it.
Yeah.
So, time trickery, he ends up in a younger body and goes, I'm not becoming that.
Yes, maybe. I don't know. The timelines are a bit screwy in that
mm-hmm.
couple of episodes. So,
oh, yeah, absolutely. It's really difficult. This is the other reason why I would say that's the perfect place to pluck him from.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I was never convinced they were ever going to do Nathaniel.
I don't know. I think we also, due to the way that ends, have a plausible reason for having Kid Loki inside main MCU.
Oh, yeah.
Because something's got to be done about Alamith.
That's true. Yeah, I do think Kid Loki is going to come back round. Probably not that quickly. Like, I don't think he'll be immediately plucked in to do the first Young Avengers series, basically.
Three words. Untitled Avengers movie.
Yeah. I'm just saying.
I'm now convinced, now that we've seen more, and we'll come round to the Marvels in just a second, I'm now convinced now we've seen more that that's what the Untitled Avengers movie is. I think it's Young Avengers.
I don't know if Marvel is going to think the Young Avengers are going to be well received enough to put them in the film immediately.
I think it wouldn't be the first time Marvel's taken that risk. And they are young analogies of the original Avengers team.
Well.
And I think you're going to get a little bit of a pining for that in the next few steps of the phases, that it would make sense that at that point you introduce a young analogy for them.
I don't know. I remain unconvinced.
Fair enough. Shall we talk about, anything else we want to cover on Loki?
No, other than, this is probably one of the best things we'll have talked about.
I actually have one more thing to cover on Loki, now I think about it.
Okay.
Where do we think Sylvie's going to end up? Do we think we're going to see Sylvie in, quote-unquote, mainline MCU?
I don't think she's going to jump to 616.
Think she's going back to the McDonald's?
Yeah, I think she's pretty satisfied.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Let's jump into the Marvels then.
Yeah.
Because, oh boy. You open this one up, because I opened the last couple.
Okay. I don't know why he's done so badly.
I agree with you. But I expected it to do badly.
Well, yeah. Yeah, everyone kind of knew it was going to do badly, but not that badly.
So I think it's a victim of multiple things. I think it's a victim of some people really, really did not like Ms. Marvel the first time around.
Captain Marvel?
Yeah. Sorry. They really didn't like Captain Marvel the first time around.
Yeah.
I think you're also dealing with two characters on a three-part header that, outside of the hardcore followers, people don't know. And it creates this situation that people feel like they've missed too much to be able to follow it.
That was always going to be the case with the MCU.
I'm not disputing that. I'm simply saying I think that's one of the reasons it got received so poorly.
Yeah, at the same time, that's a shit explanation. If one thing that Marvel has always done right is they don't need to have seen previous movies to understand what is actually going on in the movie.
No, I agree. And I feel like this one did an okay job I think it did well with Ms. Marvel.
Right.
I think it did okay with Captain Marvel. I feel like they let down
Monica
a little. On the introduction.
Did they? I think they've done everything they needed to do very quickly. Like, yeah.
For the general public?
Yeah, she's had a history with Captain Marvel. She was there with her mother when she was young, and then she's now got some powers, and that's all you need to know.
Okay, it's the she's now got some powers bit that makes me raise an eyebrow. For the general public perspective.
For the general public, they don't need to know how she's got power.
But if you're gonna sell this as a straight sequel.
Yeah. I really don't see the problem. People in the MCU just have powers.
See, I feel like that's... Well, we'll get to that. I feel like that's something that just did it a bit of a disservice on the public eye. Again, I enjoyed it. Although, it had pacing issues.
Yeah.
It really did. I said to you, what, 4 months or so before it released, when we got the first trailer, that I was worried it was going to have pacing issues because of how you're juggling so many characters. It had pacing issues. And it clearly had some scenes that got cut that, you know, there was a very obvious... I remember there was a very obvious point in there where it's just like, okay, you've clearly dropped some scenes here.
Hmm. But it wasn't because they have too many characters.
I feel like it complicated it.
Was it? They stick together for quite a lot of the movie.
They do, but it's also the scenes where they're together where those pacing issues happened, where you went from one point to another and there would clearly been a drop scene.
Yeah, and I don't feel like it's caused by there were three of them. It was caused by they couldn't reshoot those scenes.
I don't know. Let's focus on the good, though. I like the singing planet. I forget the name of it. I really liked the singing
planet. Yeah, yeah.
It helped that the king was easy on the eye.
yeah, okay.
He was doing things for me. I'm sorry.
it's all right. I was a bit nervous that we were going to do the whole, oh, this is now like MCU the musical kind of thing. Or we're doing the whole Star Trek thing. We're having a whole musical episode. don't do that. Don't sing too much.
No, I feel like they kind of sidestepped that with Rogers.
Hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like that was actually kind of a deliberate way of doing that.
Yeah, it wasn't intended to, I don't think, because the director or the writers for Hawkeye definitely said they were originally just intending for Clint to just step out from the theatre and didn't actually have a song in it. And then, and then I think Feige or something told them to write a song.
Is it bad I still want that musical?
Have you not seen... Look on YouTube. There is a full musical.
Oh, wonderful. Of course. There, wonderful.
There is a full musical they had put on in Disneyland. So, yeah, people have recorded it. And, yeah. It's a full 30-minute musical.
Okay, no. Yep, I'm going to go and find that.
Yep.
But back to the movie at hand. There was a lot to love here. There was that nice kind of camaraderie, I guess, that ended up built between them all. And I like the fact they didn't sidestep the discussion between Captain Marvel and Monica.
Yeah, like, exactly.
That,
yeah,
that was nice.
Yeah. It was building. Like, we had been wondering what happened to those two since WandaVision, basically. Mm. Yeah. And it needed that.
See, I'm in two minds. Like, I feel like they could have touched on what happened in WandaVision a little bit more, just to give Monica that bit more explanatory background.
Yeah,
because they did it for Ms. Marvel. They went, my grandma's bangle has this power, and so I have these powers.
Yeah, I think I feel like they did it with Monica. It was more Fury describing to Carol about what happened.
I don't know. In the hex. I think part of my problem here is as well that with. Sorry, I just thought I'd lost my recording for a second. Part of my problem here is that with Ms. Marvel, the reason for her powers was an integral part to the plot because, you know, the other one of the MacGuffins was on her wrist and the other one was in possession.
Yeah.
Monica, there wasn't that same, I guess, centrality of the power.
Yeah, okay.
I think that's maybe where I'm feeling like that disconnect happened.
Yeah, there wasn't a plot device for her. But yeah. she did end up, you know. I mean, yeah, her power was still important.
Oh, God, yes, at the end.
Yeah.
I want to address one thing before we talk about that ending.
Hmm.
Flurking life pods.
Yes.
No.
What?
Just no. I'm sorry, you broke my suspension of disbelief with the flurking life pods. Because it's just like, okay, I can kind of buy, as much as I hate it, I can kind of buy you got some people out that way. I'm not going to buy you got the entire space station out that way. I'm not going to buy that the way that pod crashed to Earth, only one of those flurkings threw up the person that was inside it. No, I'm sorry, that life pod became jam. That life pod became the bumblebee coming out of the Pillar of Autumn in Halo. Everybody died in that because of how many people were bouncing around inside it.
I don't care.
No, I'm sorry, that one broke my suspension of disbelief. But the X-Men are now canon.
Yes, but there is still a difference between being canon and being in the MCU.
You're not going to let this one go, are you?
Oh, no.
So here's the problem. Which version... Oh, sorry, no. Let me go back 1 second. Fuck you for baiting me into thinking that it was Storm.
Oh, I know, right.
Fuck you so much for baiting me into thinking it was Storm. That said, awesome reveal, but also fuck you, because you knew what you were doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
However, rewinding again, which version of the X-Men is this?
What exactly?
Because I don't think it's a version we've seen.
Probably not, yeah. Like, it's, yeah. It could be somewhere, yeah, in a completely new universe.
Mm-hmm. And I think it might be.
Yeah.
I think it's very close to original X-Men universe.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like it's just over a step or two.
Yeah, we just don't know.
Because there was a couple of visual things in there that didn't quite line up properly, which we know how much Feige wants to get the X-Men in there. We know how desperately he wants to do that and have it done right. I don't think it would have flown to have those couple of things out. That said, it's so nice to see Kelsey Grammer back as a Beast. Like, absolutely no slight to anyone else that's played Beast. Just, like, it's really nice to see Kelsey Grammer play Beast, because that's the voice in my head for Beast now.
Fair enough.
And at that, I think we're caught up.
Yes. Next time when we come to Find Me the Marvel again, we will start talking about What If.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll talk about What If, and we might just cover the first episode of...
Echo.
Echo?
Yeah, this Echo is coming up in fairly shortly. By the time you listen to it, it might have already been out, which is ridiculous.
Exactly. I'm intrigued with that one. Trailers look interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It looks... I wanted to know more since Hawkeye.
It does seem completely different again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we get that kind of ground level grittiness that we got through Hawkeye.
Which seems to be what it is.
Yeah. Maybe a cameo from Jeremy Renner? Although I know he's not been in the best of health.
Well, exactly. Could he have?
Let's keep fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Or if not Jeremy, at least Kate Bishop.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe it's Hayley Steinfeld.
And honestly, I'd be chill with either.
Yeah.
I would genuinely be chill with either.
I think Kate is more likely.
I don't know, because then we've got the end of the Marvels, which we didn't talk about, where they're trying to bring together the Young Avengers.
Well, true, yes. It's going to be... This Young Avengers is going to be a bit of a mess. There are going to be too many characters and not enough of the originals.
Of the originals, we saw the origin of Hulkling.
You think so, anyway.
I'm convinced we saw the origin of Hulkling. The evacuation of the Skrull City when there was a Kree Skrull Unite on there and they were coming together. I think we've seen the origin of Hulkling.
Yeah, it would mean a Hulkling who is already aware of his origins, which is a bit of a difference. Not the end of the world.
But it would also mean a Hulkling, like, taking it from that stance of... At that point where you've got Kree Skrull actually starting to negotiate, etc., it would make sense to have Hulkling have his lineage come from that point.
Yeah.
I think we've seen the origin. I'm going to put money on it now.
If that's the case, how long has it been? Like, Hulkling would not be Young Avengers age.
We don't know Skrull biology. No. We know that Skrulls age... We know that Skrulls mature earlier.
Well...
Because they established that in Secret Invasion.
Hmm. Okay. We'll see.
That's not me saying I'm okay with any Romeo and Julieting of this shit, because no, just saying... We know that there's a disparity between human timeline and Skrull timeline.
Yeah. But still, we'll see.
But anyway, that is the MCU at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. It's not the only multiverse that's out there, though, is it?
What do you mean?
Doctor Who is now a multiverse.
Ooh.
We've had 4 specials.
Yes.
3 for the 60th. 1 for Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to get into them all individually. But let's throw out there sort of general thoughts.
Fair enough. It's good to see. I think it's always good to see David Tennant back. I think they've done quite well with him, to be honest.
I liked seeing him back. I don't feel like they differentiated that Doctor from the original Tennant Doctor.
No, enough. I don't think they did. Yeah.
That said, seeing an older version and a more, I guess, mature version of Donna and the Doctor.
Yeah.
And that relationship was really nice.
Yeah. I'm happy. Happy with how they ended that. Or, well, yeah.
Neil Patrick Harris as the Toymaker was an interesting choice.
Mm.
I mostly like it. There were one or two times that it felt a little bit disconnected where you weren't sure they were on the same soundstage. But I think that came down to the way it was shot rather than the way it was actually... like the way they actually did it. I think because there is evidence they were all on the same soundstage.
Yeah.
It just felt... I don't know if it was just because of the logistics of shooting what they were trying to shoot.
Probably, yeah.
You know? Second episode was good.
Yeah.
But it felt a little bit filler.
It did, didn't it? Yeah. It didn't feel like a special episode.
Yeah. There were a couple of nice things in there. Like, you got a couple of nice character moments for the two of them.
Mm.
But it did feel filler to me.
Yeah.
That said, the fake out at the end where he picked up the wrong Donna. Usually I hate those. That one was done well.
Yeah, I don't feel either way about it. I don't think it was good or don't think it was bad. Was it? So it's like, oh yeah. Yeah, I was just average about that.
And we can't talk Doctor Who without talking Bernard Cribbins.
Of course.
God bless him.
Mm.
God bless him. May that man rest well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was one thing I really liked. So they put in all of the footage that they could, and they had it make sense in the way they could.
Yeah.
The body double they used in the second one was not the best, but they were also not trying to be coy about this.
No.
And straight after, literally, I think it was inside of half an hour of it airing in the in the UK,
mm-hmm.
Russell T. Davies went to social media and went, unfortunately, this is all that we got.
Yeah.
And they like straight up and went, look, this is what it is. Really, really respectful, really sort of, let's make sure there's no kind of speculation, etc., because, you know, we're talking about someone who has died and their family and everything else, like, was really on top of it.
Yeah.
And I think that was handled really well, and it should actually be called out for how well it was handled.
And this is exactly what I talked about just now with Jonathan Majors. Like, everyone knows the news. Everyone mm-hmm. knows the situation. They will forgive, like, production necessities.
Yeah.
That's never going to be a problem.
No, exactly. I just feel with Majors, I don't know if they've had time to find the replacement, is my question mark.
Hmm.
But anyway, we're not talking about MCU now.
No. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Like, yeah, the audience don't care about, you know, a body double is not particularly good, or, you know, some footage seems to be missing. Like is, you know, it's got to be done.
Yeah. I like that they did pay him the respect as well of... So there was the line that they inserted, and they made clear it was an insert.
Mm-hmm.
Of Donna telling the unit soldiers to get Wilf to safety.
Yeah.
And then on the end of it, they had the whole thing about, you know, oh no, he's around, he's out shooting the moles. Which, yeah. I mean, two things. That's a very Americanized attitude, because we don't have firearms that easily in the UK. But two, there is something amusing to me of Wilf, like, trying to hunt down these moles that cost four shields.
Yeah.
I'm not the biggest fan of the new Sonic screwdriver being able to create shields and things.
It's a bit much, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it defeats the point of a Sonic screwdriver, which is meant to be a pretty, well...
basic.
Yeah, I was going to say useless, but it's not the right word. But yeah, it's limited in function. It's meant to be.
Yeah, he was always meant to be a little bit of a finger of God to make things move, but never to block shots and things and create screens in thin air, etc. Like, that felt a bit much. While we're on the Sonic Screwdriver, we'll talk about the regeneration in a moment. What do you think of the new Sonic Screwdriver?
In what way?
Shooting Outwards version.
Yeah. I mean, it's fine. I
really don't like it.
Okay. I think it's fine.
It, to me, it doesn't look like a Sonic Screwdriver.
Okay.
To me, it doesn't read Sonic Screwdriver. To me, it doesn't feel right. The screwdriver should be a cylinder. It should be, you know, it can have whatever fucking bells and whistles, but it should be cylindrical. This feels more like a TV remote.
Now I just need to find a screwdriver that's, you know, rectangular.
It's not even rectangular. It's more like an 8. Anyway, I'm not a fan. I'm really not a fan. That said, I like Shooty's the Doctor.
Oh, sure.
And it's so nice to see a queer-coded doctor.
Mm-hmm.
As in, an actual queer-coded doctor. Like, they sort of did it with Yasmin and the Doctor in the last season.
Mm.
But it never... It felt queer-coded by mistake, and then they lent into it. This feels like a deliberate choice on the way that the Doctor presents.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I feel like they've been trying to do that for a while. I don't know.
I feel like Russell's been trying to do that for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't feel like the others have.
I don't know.
That said, one of my favourite lines happened in the specials. Well, lines, moments. Where the Doctor is talking to Donna... And it's just like, oh, Isaac Newton was hot. Yeah, he was. Oh, I'm that kind of guy now. And she just sort of turns to him, doesn't miss a beat, and goes, well, it was never far from the surface. Like, yep. Way too much time with Captain Jack.
Yeah. Or something. Yeah.
So let's talk the controversy.
Which one?
Bi-generation?
I don't know, like, for me, like, Doctor Who is just, to me, is, oh yeah, whatever the writer says goes, to me. I've long passed, you know, arguing, yeah, this can happen, this can't happen, this can happen, that can't happen. Long past that with Doctor Who.
So, I don't mind it in theory. As a one-off, I get it. Davis has gone into interviews and gone, oh no, this has always happened. I'm just like, no. As a one-off, yeah, okay. It makes me concerned long-term.
Okay.
So it gives you an easy way to do the curator without having to muddy down the main Doctor's canon of when is he going to become. Okay, fine. It makes sense that, you know, he would know about the secret archive, etc., be involved with all that, etc. Because, yeah, this Doctor would probably stay around Kate Lethbridge-Stewart, etc.
Mm-hmm.
It's a given. But you now have two versions of the Doctor with separate TARDISes able to run around.
True.
That has potential universe implications. And then, what do you do about... where is this Doctor in modern day, etc., when things are going down?
I mean, like, for me, it's not something I worry about. It's not my concern. That's for the writers to sort out. Mm-hmm.
But it's the MCU problem. Something major starts to go down in a single character's movie.
Yeah.
You know? And the question that always comes up is, where were the Avengers?
Mm-hmm.
This is happening in New York. Where are the Avengers?
Yeah.
You're going to have the same problem now in the Doctor Who universe of this shit's going down in London. Where's the Doctor?
The thing is, I do think Tennant is going to show up once a while. Or some other actor or actress. They may just regenerate him as well.
True. True. Very true.
Off screen.
No, I get it.
Anyone can come and play the Doctor.
No, absolutely. I'm not saying they can't. I'm just saying, like, that's the bit that's in the back of the head now. Yeah. And I know they're planning to do a UNIT spin-off, or at least a Kate Lethbridge-Stewart spin-off, one or the other. I don't know which the official title is going to end up being. But we know that she signed on to a spin-off.
Hmm.
Like, it would make sense to have Tennant appear there once in a while. And I think that's probably one of the reasons it was done.
Exactly.
But it's just, it does raise questions for me.
I wouldn't worry too much about it.
Fair enough. Fair enough. That's just my thoughts. Overall, I enjoyed them all.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Shooty's first adventure was a little bit by the numbers. But it's a regeneration episode. They always are.
Yeah.
My only thing is, the way he defeated the Goblin King is a little bit fucking violent for the Doctor.
That may be true.
And it feels like it just doesn't get addressed.
I don't know. Maybe it's a bit of, I don't know, Disney coming in and you know, trying to look for new audiences and that kind of thing to just put in a bit more action.
I
don't know what they're trying to do.
You can definitely see the Disney influence.
Mm.
But I don't think it's in a... Okay, currently, I don't think it's in too bad a way.
No, I don't think so.
I think the Sonic Screwdriver is a Disney influence. Because that's branding and toys.
Yeah.
Sorry. That's how that feels to me. Definitely, I mean, they've got more CG now.
Yeah. I mean, it was always going to have a lot more CG.
Oh, this is not a complaint.
No, they're always going to have more and more CG. I'm like, yeah, that's fine.
This isn't a complaint, because the CG they seem to have had has been balanced with practical as well.
Hmm.
So, you know, I'm good with that. It's just interesting to see that on a show that's always been about as shaky as its back wall, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, there are literal clips in episodes of the Doctor breaking things off the main console TARDIS and sort of running with it as part of the scene, when no, that was actually a blooper and it wasn't meant to break off.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I'm pretty sure Matt Smith had a couple of those. I don't know. I'm curious to see where it goes.
Okay. Yeah, so am I.
Any other big media that you want to cover?
No, nothing else on my mind particularly.
Yeah. I think we'll cover the other stuff as we go.
Exactly, yeah.
So, should we do a joysticks?
We can do a joystick.
Let's do a joysticks. What's on your joysticks, Chris?
I have finally started playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Yes, you've put a lot of time into this.
I have put a lot of time in Baldur's Gate in the last week when I have been off work for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Okay.
It's really, really good. Especially good with representing what the rules of Dungeons & Dragons is like. The story is good. It's very long as well. I have still got to get out of Act 1.
Yeah, I've heard it's got a massive, massive story.
Yeah. I still got to get out of Act 1 out of 3. I'm coming to the end of Act 1.
Mm-hmm.
It also does seem like everyone wants to have sex with you. I think I have picked my favorite.
Okay.
It's the druid wood elf that's who it doesn't start in your party, but he's a bit of a daddy bear.
Okay.
He is also reportedly polyamorous.
Oh. Interesting.
Hmm. So yeah.
I have heard I've seen the memes.
Mm.
Of how straight people playing a male character are getting very sort of, wait, what the fuck, because other male characters are hitting on them.
Yes. Yeah, but everyone is hitting on everyone in the game.
Yeah, but it's fun to see people.
It is, yes.
No, I need to check this out. It's on the list, and I think it's one that I'll get to soon.
Yeah. Just a word. It's quite difficult.
Okay.
A difficulty level is quite high, even for someone like me who plays quite a few like computer RPGs and play mm-hmm. Dungeons & Dragons tabletop as well. It's difficult. I've seen I'm playing on a normal difficulty, but I've seen people playing on even lower difficulty, the easy, like you're meant to just go through the story difficulty, and still die a lot.
Okay.
And honestly, this is a bit of a complaint for me. If you're on a story difficulty, you shouldn't be challenging your players like that. You shouldn't have to min-max every character or look up guide to how to build your characters. Because that's one of the fun things of Dungeons & Dragons. You are supposed to be able to build your character however you want. You're supposed to be able to pick things that you think your character would do, even if it is not the most beneficial gameplay wise.
Yeah.
But you can't do that in this game necessarily.
Okay. Have you played any of the previous ones in the season? In the series, even?
No.
Right, okay. Because I was wondering if they had the same issue.
Yeah, they're not by the same developer.
Ah, right,
well,
fair enough.
Weren't they BioWare?
I don't know. The only thing I know from the development side is that, you know, once again, we can say fuck you, Hasbro. Because Hasbro recently laid off quite a lot of people, including just about all of the contacts that the development team for Baldur's Gate 3 had.
Mm.
So, you know, that's literally the only bit of development news I know about Baldur's Gate.
Fair enough. Hasbro.
An excuse to say fuck you, Hasbro.
Well, yeah. But yeah, definitely a game you should check out if you haven't already. They have said, well, developers have said they're not going to come to Xbox Game Pass, which it doesn't surprise. It does not surprise me.
That's disappointing.
It is disappointing now. We're so used to it that our game just publicly announced that we're not doing this.
Yeah.
But yeah, not every game is going to be on Game Pass site.
Yeah. No, I know. I just got used to it.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I've been playing that a lot. Very much enjoying it, but yeah, you do need to think about your tactics a lot.
Fair enough.
So what's on your joystick?
So on my joystick, I have had an interesting one. So it turns out that I have somehow, like, I don't have my Switch in my possession anymore. Let's put it that way.
Oh.
So for the Christmas period, I ended up going back home without any console. Because usually I take my console when I'm traveling and I've got downtime. I did, as a result, end up playing on my old GameCube.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So I've gone back and played some original Mario Kart Double Dash, Because I maintained for the last few years that Mario Kart 8 is good, but Mario Kart Double Dash is where it hits its stride and it was at the peak.
Okay.
And now I've gone back and played it. And
What you remembered.
I'm really conflicted. I'm really, really conflicted.
Fair enough.
Because there's a lot of quality of life stuff in Mario Kart 8 that came about, I think, because of Crash Team Racing. Because Crash Team Racing introduced things like hopping to start your slide, etc.
Okay.
Like jumping, etc. wasn't a thing in Mario Kart. Crash Team Racing that came out about the same time as Double Dash had it. And that was how they got that.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah?
Fair, yeah. Yeah.
So, I feel like Double Dash is not the experience I remember. But I still want the concept to come back. Because I think the Double Dash concept with the modern quality of life changes.
Yeah.
Would be an absolutely phenomenal game. Especially for party play, co-op play, etc. that they encourage on the Switch platform.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because the entire thing with Double Dash about having two people on one cart, like, that was really good. And it was really good for playing games with people that don't play that many games.
Yeah. Because
you could have one person controlling driving and one person controlling weapons, etc.
Yeah.
And it became that tactical thing of, like, I can switch out and lose a bit of speed and a bit of ground because we need to use this weapon now. You know? I really enjoyed going back, but nostalgia's also a bitch.
it is, isn't it? Yeah.
But yeah, that's what's been on my joysticks.
Okay, cool. Nice. Nice. This is something I'm not going to go and check out, just, you know, because it's on a GameCube and I don't have a GameCube.
That's fair. That's completely fair. It was just a nice trip down nostalgia for me. But yeah, I think that's the show for today, Chris. I know we've not done a kinky one, but we're long overdue a catch-up on these.
We are, yeah. It's good to talk about these things.
Yeah. I think next episode we're going to come back with the gay animals.
I think so.
Because we've still got a few of those to cover and see if they're as horrific as some of the ones that we covered last time.
I know, right? If they're going to be how iffy they are. Yeah.
Hey, we'll be fine. We'll have an interesting time at least.
Well, at least we're just reading them out. Like, so, indeed. Yeah. No, we didn't write them, so don't complain about us.
Yeah, like we will change things language-wise where we need to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for now, this has been Teabags and Joysticks Podcast. Where can people find us, Chris?
You can find our links on our website, which is tbnjpodcast.com/links.
Yep. I will put a link to my little project up there. We will have a couple of other things on there soon, because we've got a couple more, a couple of new, shall we say, social networks that we need to put on there.
Yeah, we do.
We need to get on top of updating those again.
Oh, exactly. With Twitter going the way it is, yeah, there are a lot more places we need to worry about now. Yep.
I'm sorry, what's Twitter?
It's Twitter. Twitter.
A bird by any other name. But yeah, I have been Si.
I've been Chris.
Thank you very much for listening. Happy New Year once again. And we indeed shall see you in the next episode.
See ya. Bye.
Bye.
This episode is edited by TVNJ Chris, as sampled in Brazos Auditory Free Audio. The opening and ending music is called Conundrum by DOAK. Thank you for listening to Teabags and Joysticks.